This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وإمامنا وحبيبنا أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. I praise Allah Almighty and I send prayers and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his noble family, righteous companions and all those that follow them with right guidance until the day of judgment. Ameen. Glory be to you, O Allah. No knowledge have we except that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope everybody is doing well. We continue with tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. And we have gotten to the following verses. Allah Most High says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ
وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ.
In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He has sent down to you, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clear ayat. Ayatin bayyinat. To connect these verses to the verses we talked about last time, there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling us about Jibreel alayhi salam and the enmity of the Jews towards Jibreel. And we mentioned the narrations about that and all of the different details about their animosity towards the chief of the angels, Jibreel alayhi salam. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afterwards tells them that he is an enemy to the disbelievers who disbelieve in Allah and the angels and the messengers. And then he mentions Jibreel and Mikael, Gabriel and Michael specifically. So your enmity towards Jibreel alayhi salam, who brought the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has no bearing on what Allah azza wa jal has given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You decided to make him an enemy and disbelieve through that? That's your prerogative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with you. It has no bearing. Everything that Jibreel alayhi salam gave to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is truth. Is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are nothing but ayatin bayyinat. Clear verses. Here he says ayat. Many scholars of tafsir restricted it to verses, the verses of the Quran. Ayatin bayyinat. Some may have tried to understand it in a more general sense as well. Ayat meaning signs. Of them are the verses of the Quran, which are signs, and other such signs that they disbelieved in. This ayah also has an authentic reason of revelation. And this is that, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma relates, Ibn Surya al-Fityawni or al-Fatyuni told a Jew, told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nothing has come to you that we know of. In other words, the stuff that you are saying and that has been given to you, we don't know. And Allah has not sent down upon you an ayah, a sign, for which we can follow you. So he is rejecting that the Prophet ﷺ came with anything they know of, or that he came with anything like an ayah or a sign for which they can follow the Prophet ﷺ. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this verse. وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. Indeed, we have sent down to you clear verses, clear ayat. Let no one like this say, oh, you didn't get any ayah that can be a justification for us following you. Allah sent you ayatin bayyinat. وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. Imam al-Tabari says, everything that you are bringing them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in diametrically opposite terms to what Ibn Surya is saying, everything you brought them is an ayah. So Al-Tabari is saying, ayatin bayinat, everything you told them about from the Quran, from that which was revealed to you, otherwise the Prophet ﷺ could not tell them about this. Allah, the Prophet was telling you through his knowledge of the Quran about your history, your stories, your violations, knowledge of which was restricted to your scholars and your rabbis. What is Ibn Surya saying? The Jews were thinking to themselves, where is Muhammad getting all of this? He exposed us, he left nothing. All of the stories in the Quran. You have to imagine their situation now. They hid this. They thought, okay, this is history. Nobody knows about our dark history and the things that we have done. And now it is all coming out, one verse after another. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reciting it to them. So all of these are ayat bayinat. Things only the rabbis and the scholars know about. Ahkam. Legislation that is found in the Torah. The Quran is just bringing all of this. These are ayat bayinat. Are they not? That's why, وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. Only the fasiqun, those who are disobedient, who have this quality of fisq, those are the ones who disbelieve in it. So these are the ayat bayinat. And of course, part of these clear signs is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is mentioned in their books, and they are supposed to believe in him. So this is all part of the argument that the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims are making towards and should be directing at the Jews so that they would believe. But then he says, وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. So these are clear verses. Notice, آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. This is not some kind of very esoteric information or verses or knowledge that no one can ever understand, the likes of which you might find things that magicians say, things that are unintelligible and people cannot understand. Allah is telling him, ayatin bayyinat, clear verses, such that the only ones who would disbelieve in it are those who are fasiqun, and you are of those. That's why you disbelieve in it, because you are of the disobedient. وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. This ayah is showing you how egregious it is to disbelieve in the Quran and its ayat. This applies then, and this applies now. وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. If ever you are put in a situation and maybe the shaitan is trying to play around with your head, with your iman, and is doing waswasa to you about this ayah or that, or this understanding or interpretation of this ayah or that, and the shayateen of the human beings and the jinn
are trying to dissuade you and distance you from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember this. وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. The verses of the Quran are so clear, and its miraculousness and inimitability is evident to anyone that has a heart or intellect or understanding. The only ones who will disbelieve are the fasiqun, the ones who are disobedient. You might say, well, وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا. This is a connection between kufr and fisq, yes? Because if you disbelieve, then this is kufr. So this is an example of where the Quran is mentioning fisq, but the meaning of it is kufr. وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. Other times, he may mention fisq and only mean by it fisq, meaning disobedience. So a person may be a fasiq, but not a kafir. But if he's a kafir, then he's also a fasiq, right? So it's more general in that way. Here, وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. So we might say, okay, if fisq here is being mentioned as kufr, then why is it being termed that way? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell you they have an issue. In other words, don't think, oh, this person is disbelieving in it, but this person is so smart. This person is a genius. This person is recognized by everyone as a huge scholar. Maybe there really is something. So Allah tells you, وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. If someone disbelieves in it, then this person has a problem inside. They are a fasiq. They are disobedient to Allah. They are away from the realm of obedience to the divine. They are away from the fitrah. Otherwise they would believe. And this is why you find people accepting Islam in droves. They read a few verses of the Quran and that's it. And Allah tells us in the other ayah that those who know, when they hear the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَفِيضُ أَعْيُنُهُمْ مِنَ الدَّمَعِ. Tears come out of their eyes because they immediately realize it is the truth. And Najashi heard a few verses and he said, this is all from the same source. They immediately realize this must be from Allah. If someone says otherwise, it is because they have a problem. They are fasiqun. And thus they disbelieve. وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. Very important ayah. It reminds us of the other ayah at the end of Surah Fussilat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ كَفَرْتُمْ بِهِ. So this ayah is trying to show the gravity of disbelieving the Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the clear verses. So that ayah as well, say, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ, say, what if it was indeed from Allah? إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ كَفَرْتُمْ بِهِ. Then you disbelieved in it. ثُمَّ كَفَرْتُمْ بِهِ. Then he says, مَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ هُوَ فِي شِقَاقٍ بَعِيدٍ. Who is more astray than that person? So the ayah is trying to say, you need to rethink this. Imagine this is these are the words of Allah, this is the book of Allah, and this person is disbelieving in it. Is there anything worse than that? We've gotten used to it. We've become numb. There's so much disobedience, there's so much kufr around us. It's almost like, oh yeah. So the ayah is telling you, no, this is very serious. And similarly here, وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. In the end of Surah Fussilat, he continues, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to show them the signs in the horizons and in themselves until it is clear to them that this is the truth. وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. Who can disbelieve in such manifest verses, in a mesmerizing book that combines all kinds of eloquence and miraculousness and i'jaz, inimitability and depth of meaning and guidance? This can only be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if someone disbelieves, then they are fasiqun. So the Jews can say all they want, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them what it really is. And then he says, أَوَ كُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. One of the reasons a lot of scholars understood here that what Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioning, the ahd, the pledge, is the pledge with Allah. Because of this, because it is coming right after the ayah talking about their disbelief in the Quran. أَوَ كُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا. So their pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the covenant, the mithaq that we have been talking about all this time, and the covenant to follow and believe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as they had promised and as they were supposed to because of what they have in their books of his description alayhi salatu wa salam. This is the covenant between them and Allah. أَوَ كُلَّمَا عَهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Every time they make a pledge, isn't it the case that every time they make a pledge, نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ, then a group of them will throw it away. This is the meaning of نَبْذ. نَبَذَهُ, نَبَذَهُ أي طَرَحَهُ. This is the meaning of نَبَذَ, like throwing it away. Of course, when it applies to a pledge or a covenant, the meaning is breaking the pledge or the covenant. نَبَذَهُ هُنَا أَيْ نَقَضَهُ. They broke their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوَ كُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. It is narrated that this ayah as well has a reason of revelation, سَبَبْ نُزُول. And this is that another Jew, Malik ibn al-Sayf, and some may say al-Dayf, said that Allah did not take any pledge from us or any covenant. And He did not take any covenant or pledge from us regarding Muhammad. So outright rejecting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way required them to believe and follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah revealed the ayah. أَوَ كُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Notice, نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. The ones who broke the pledge, threw it away as if it didn't have any meaning. فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ, a group of them. Allah did not, subhanAllah, He did not generalize. He didn't say all of them. Some of them. فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ, a group of them. Okay? Broke their pledge. This is if the pledge, as we mentioned, is a pledge between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some scholars of tafsir understood it as the pledges between them and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the opinion of Ata as well, that what is meant by the pledge here are the promises and agreements between them and the Prophet ﷺ. When the Prophet ﷺ first came to Al-Madinah, he immediately drafted the constitution, right? The law of the land that would stipulate what kind of relations exist between the different religions and people living in Medina at the time. And of them are the Jews. These are pledges. These are like an agreement or a covenant. It's a constitution. And of course, he took the promise of the Jews. And what did they do? They threw it away. It meant nothing to them. They plotted. They plotted and plotted. And every time an enemy was about to attack the Muslims, the Jews will join forces with them. What happened to the pledge? What happened to the agreement? It means nothing. أَوَ كُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Ibn Jurayj says, he says that they make a pledge today and they break it tomorrow. This is how important those pledges are. Please understand, O Muslims, this is what their pledges mean. وَكُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Another possible meaning is that a group of them may make the pledge and may be true to that pledge, but the others give that pledge no importance. You see? If someone gives a pledge, the others should fulfill that pledge as well, even though they might not have been directly involved in giving that pledge, that ahd, that agreement. This is the way of the Muslims. If one person gave a promise to someone else, it becomes incumbent upon the others to fulfill that promise. Right? We know that one of the positive things the Arabs had was the pledge of protection. There was no police at the time. Nobody to supposedly keep the peace, right? And protect everyone or protect their rights. So if someone now were to give someone a promise of protection, guess what? Everyone is required to fulfill it. It's not just them giving them the pledge of protection. And that's why what they would do is, they would go outside and they would announce it. Oh people! So I would come out and I would say, this person, so and so, is under my protection. If anyone harms them, they have to answer to me. So Muslims would be required to then fulfill that pledge. Which is what happened with Ummu Hani when she came to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ honored her pledge. Even though it was someone who ostensibly is an enemy of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, we will protect the one you have protected, Ummu Hani. They would respect the pledge. But here, if someone gives the pledge, someone else breaks it, it has no meaning. أَوَ كُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Is it not that every time someone would give a pledge, someone else would break it, or a group of them would break it? نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Here Al-Imam al-Tabari also tells us, and then many other scholars of tafsir followed suit, that One of the ways to understand this is the following. أَوَ كُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Rather, but most of them do not believe. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very objectively tells us that not all of them would break their pledge, but a group of them would. So then we might think to ourselves, okay, so most of them would keep the pledge, and some of them would not. فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. So then he says, بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. So this tells you that actually, most of them do not keep the pledge. Most do not, some do. And even then, subhanAllah, look at how fair Allah Azza wa Jal is. He mentioned fariq, even though most of them, for us, you know, we reversed it. If one person does something, the whole race, the whole group, the whole organization, the whole country is doomed if one person does it. Here, most of them do not keep their pledge. So it might be perfectly fine to say they don't keep their pledge. No, but some of them do. So Allah Azza wa Jal made the exception. نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. A group of them did not. This is the way, my brothers and sisters. When you write, when you speak, be fair, be objective, right? Don't generalize in that way. Some of them did it, say some of them, okay? If you say all of them, or you make it seem like most of them, you know what you've done? You have severely hurt your own argument and your credibility. They will say, look, two of them did it and you said most of them. Here, بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Most of them do not believe. And yet Allah Azza wa Jal said, a group of them will renege, will not fulfill the pledge and break it. The other way to understand it, أَوَ كُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنُّهُمْ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Is it not the case that whenever they make a covenant or a pledge, then a group of them will throw it away? No. Most of them do not believe. It's not, in other words, it's not just about breaking the pledge. The bigger problem is they do not believe. They are disbelievers. So if they are disbelievers, it's expected that they might not keep the pledge. Doesn't mean all of them, as he said, not all of them. But if they are disbelievers, they're committing a much worse sin than not keeping their pledge. بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Most of them do not even believe. And that in itself is a most grave crime and sin, as we saw in the previous ayah. بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. The Prophet ﷺ tells us in a hadith which some scholars graded as hasan or sahih, okay, and others may have considered weak. He said, عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, لَا إِيمَانَ لِمَنْ لَا أَمَانَةَ لَهُ وَلَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا عَهْدَ لَهُ. An amazing hadith that highlights the most important link between religiosity, iman, the deen, and character and akhlaq, especially for those who seem to confuse the issue. and there's a disconnect between the two. Notice, لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له. No إيمان, there is no إيمان for the one who doesn't have أمانة, trust. You cannot trust him, they're not trustworthy. The Prophet ﷺ is denying Iman from this person. It's very serious. وَلَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا عَهْدَ لَهُ. And there is no deen for the one who doesn't honor their pledge. So now, subhanAllah, we're looking at it in the opposite way. In the first one, we're looking at, yes, the fact that they are breaking their pledges, but they are committing a much worse sin, and that is their disbelief, right? So this is what we might call the focus on the issue of faith and religiosity. Now, let us focus on the issue of character. Because someone might say, no, alhamdulillah, I have deen, I have iman. Yes, but you break your pledges. You don't fulfill your promises. You are not trustworthy. What kind of iman and what kind of deen do you have? Another major problem that we see. And I speak a lot more about this issue and the apparent disconnect between deen and akhlaq in a series of lectures which I may have mentioned to you, or I can send to you, inshallah. So here, this is an example. أَوَكُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَوْا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Muslims can also be reminded by this now. Muslims who are not honoring their pledges, not for fulfilling their promises, between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and between them and other human beings. بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Most of them do not believe. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ. Notice the focus in these two ayahs. It's all about throwing away, a nabth. They're just throwing things away as if it has no value or meaning. Whenever a messenger comes to them from Allah, min indillah, the messenger is not coming to you on his own volition, for his own good or benefit. He is being sent to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you recognize that. Rasulun min indillah, musaddiqun lima ma'ahum. Confirming that which is with them. And we spoke about this many times before. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is confirming that which you have. And you recognize it. Whether that has to do with the description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in your books, or whether that also has to do with the fact that you see the commonalities between what you have and what he has brought. He has not brought something completely out of the blue and completely different. مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ. When this happens and this messenger comes to you and you recognize what he has brought you, نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So what did they do when this happened? They threw the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind their backs. So in the first one, they threw away and didn't fulfill their pledges or their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It had no meaning or value. And now the book of Allah itself, Ya Allah, the book of Allah itself, metaphorically, they threw it behind their backs. This is the book of Allah. doesn't mean anything. There's no value. This is the book they're claiming they believed in. One of their excuses for not believing in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran is, we believe in what has been given to us only. Here it is. No, you threw it behind you. No meaning. You didn't give it the value you were supposed to. So this is what they do. Things don't have meaning for them. They just throw it away. Notice, subhanallah, here he said nabadha fariq. Again, not all of them, some of them, a group of them. Nabadha fariqun min alladhina utul kitab. A group of them who has been given the book. We might say, why is it being mentioned here? Those who have been given the book. Isn't the ayah talking about the Jews anyway? Isn't the ayah and the context all about the Jews? So why didn't he say nabada fariqun minhum, just like the first one? Right? No, nabada fariqun min alladhina utul kitab. Barakallahu fik, brother. Fariqun min alladhina utul kitab. One possibility, wallahu a'lam, for re-mentioning alladhina utul kitab, those who have been given the book, again, to highlight how egregious it is that you are throwing the book of Allah behind your backs. Why? Because one of the reasons that you are special is that you have been given the book. You are Ahlul Kitab. And Ahlul Kitab, as you know, have a special status, right? For Muslims, from a legislative point of view. These are Ahlul Kitab. We consider them closer because they are Ahlul Kitab. They are the people of the book. They have been given a bona fide book sent to them by Allah and a messenger. So you are the ones who have been given the book. You are not pagans. You are not worshipping idols. You believe in Allah and the last day. You're supposed to. And then you don't care and you throw the book of Allah behind you. Allahu Akbar. It shows how bad it is. نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. To remind them. Another possibility, maybe, based on the opinion of Muhammad Abduh, as mentioned in Tafsir al-Manar, he says, actually, being told and given tidings about the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his description is not only the Jews, the Christians as well. They were also told. And they also did not implement, did not follow, and did not obey in that respect. And therefore, it's like they threw the book of Allah behind their backs as if they don't know as well. So he's saying it applies to the Jews and it applies to the Christians as well. Is that why he mentions الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ instead of فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ? Allahu A'lam. نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. A group of them. Again, a group of them. Not all Jews and not all Christians. نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. As if they do not know. They didn't physically throw the book of Allah behind them. But in the way they dealt with it, in the way they disobeyed and rejected and mocked and didn't give value to the covenant between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's as if they threw it behind their backs. كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, as if they don't know. It wasn't even something that was difficult for them. كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, as if they don't know, as if they've never heard of it. Concealing the matter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, corrupting the book of Allah, changing the verses of Allah, ignoring the signs that He sent them. نَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ, they threw it behind their backs. كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, as if they don't even know, or they haven't been told. Brothers and sisters, a lot of these verses that we have been dealing with, they revolve around these meanings. And the reason for that, again, is because of how dangerous this disbelief is and their disobedience is. For us, it may seem like, because we don't really see it, right? We haven't lived that history. We weren't exposed to it directly as the Prophet ﷺ was, right? But if you were, then these verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only increase you in iman. And of course it increases, it should increase every Muslim in iman. But what I'm trying to say is that when you're living that and you're experiencing that kind of rejection and mockery and lack of concern and ultimately disbelief, when you experience it and you see it in front of you, this is when these verses of Allah will come alive. But you have not seen. You don't see the centuries of deceit and mockery and corruption of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His teachings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes them in these ayahs, one after another. And sometimes the argument is repeated because it's a cogent and solid argument that they cannot possibly reject or refute. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. جزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.